Zandy.
Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee, and I'm here with the Quizmaster Zaddy himself, Mark Davis.
Here I am.
Is that just, does that just mean daddy?
Yeah, but it's, I think it's with a little tude. Zaddy.
It's like a suggestive like
maybe,
version?
Maybe it's
so you
bratty.
Don't have to
I've
say
really,
daddy.
I've it's never like, really taken it apart.
I wonder if it's just to distance yourself from the incestuous connotations, you know?
Probably
like
not.
If I just say zaddy, it gets the point across, but I don't have to think about my dad.
A zaddy is a guy who's attractive and fashionable with swag and sex appeal. Used in a sentence, you might say,
Mark
did
Davis
you see
is
that
a
guy
zaddy.
At the mall? He was a total zaddy.
Mark Davis is a zaddy.
Yeah,
that's
I?
How I would use it.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, here we are on a trivia podcast talking about zaddies. It's the Zaddy episode. We're just a couple Zads.
Indeed.
I'm a breakfast fumbler. I just fumbled my breakfast all over the floor right before we started recording.
Zad the Impaler.
Zad the Impaler. Isn't Vladdy. That a Ghostbusters villain?
Ooh, Vladdy. Yeah, you dropped your sandwich. I'm really sorry about that.
It was
the last bite, but still.
Yeah, you saved the best for last. You saved the best
you
for
did.
Last. And
the
gone,
right amount of
gone
cheese,
with the wind. Yeah.
Meat. Egg, bread.
Oh, man. Hey, by the way, we got a message from Mike who submitted our question about the theatrical run last week. Longest theatrical run ever.
Mm-hmm.
He said, thank you for reading his Rate My Question. And he is also going to add cult to the question itself and update.
Ooh, okay.
It. So like that update. Like that update.
Yeah, very much so.
Let's also take care of a miscorrection real quick while we're here.
Miscorrection. I feel like this is unprecedented. Such a quick missed correction.
We're just on fire today. We
got
to run through these things. We
going
got a lot of content,
cylinders.
Though. Yeah, yeah. We're snapping. We're snipping, snapping along. Here,
here we go.
All right. On the last episode, in the final questions, you asked me about Mount Pinatubo, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you recall.
I do.
And I was thinking, is it Hawaiian? And I think I said the Hawaiian alphabet has 13 letters in it, something along those lines. I will say that the T and the B in that are instant disqualifiers for Hawaiian. All of the other letters in Pinatubo are there, except for the T and B. They are not in the Hawaiian alphabet. But Kristen actually wrote in and said, there are 12 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet, which I only know because Lee has asked two questions about it at Three Pepper before.
Mm-hmm.
And I do vaguely remember asking this question. I looked at my repo, and I do indeed have a question that says there are 12 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet. However, I've done some more research, because where did this 13 come from? Well, there's actually one extra consonant sound that is sometimes not included, but according to David Strouch, who's a geography professor at the University of Hawaii, who also has a 4.0 on Rate My Professor, I looked up.
Mm.
So congratulations to him.
Good job.
He has this blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes of this episode, using correct Hawaiian orthography. Professor Strouch writes, you sometimes hear the Hawaiian alphabet only has 12 letters, 7 consonants, and 5 vowels, which represent all the basic sounds or phonemes in the language. However, these letters, which are A, E, H, I, K, L, M, N, O, P, U, and W only represent the sounds that are easily recognized by the English-speaking missionaries who first implemented the written alphabet in Hawaii. The Hawaiian language contains another phoneme which is treated as a consonant, the glottal stop or the okina. English speakers often don't notice the sound, although it is the one that we make in the middle of the word uh-oh, and at the beginning of many words which begin with vowels. Additionally, Hawaiian speakers distinguish between short vowels, which are briefly pronounced, and long vowels, which have greater duration, but these don't seem to be included in the overall character count. They're usually just like lines above the vowel sounds.
Gotcha.
Indicate that. But because these sounds are significant in Hawaiian, they can determine the actual meaning of words. So it's not like this glottal stop, the okina, is totally superfluous. A commonly cited example is a set of short words. So these are 4 words with all the same spelling, P-A-U, and there's a stop and vowel distinction on all of these. Pau, pa'u, pa'u, and pa'u, which means finished, soot, damp, and skirt. All very different from each other, but the glottal stop and the vowel sound actually make a difference. Without the okina and kahaku, the distinction between meanings would be unclear. The kahaku would be that vowel symbol. So 13, I think, is the good answer for how many letters there are, or how many characters there are in the Hawaiian alphabet. And that glottal stop is represented just by a flipped apostrophe, going the other direction. So just some clarification there.
That's awesome.
Because I missed it, and Kristen said that I asked it before. So 13, final answer for that.
13.
Yeah.
We also received kind of a missed correction from Mike C., mm-hmm. one of our Rumpelstiltskins.
Right.
About the washing machine question I had, which was in the Louisiana State Fair in 1937, the first fully automatic, fully automatic.
I think it was automatic.
Automatic what was introduced
device, yeah.
By Bendix,
mm-hmm.
And the answer was washing machine. He made a distinction saying that there were electric washing machines by the 1920s, and that a lot of it has to do with how you would define automatic.
Right.
So I did a little research, and we kind of went back and forth. You were in on this thread.
Mm-hmm.
But the, at one point, later on in the conversation, because I had looked it up and it was in a book, that it was the 1937 Louisiana State Fair, where specifically the washing machine had the first spin dry washer, which made it fully automated.
Right. It was probably one like little step of automation at first. You know, and this was a major advancement, I guess.
At first it would do the shaking motion, but it would spin dry. You'd have to still sit there and like beat it on a rock or something to get the excess water
out. Some manual effort.
So the point that I made, and the reason that I wanted to bring it up, because the point basically that I think kind of won it over was the fact that I used Bendix as the company name.
Yeah.
And specifically the 1937 Louisiana State Fair. So all that stuff, even if you're trivializing what automated means, there's enough other information, which is why, questioning or wording a question has a lot to do with, if you can get through the skin of your teeth or not. You can say, well, even if you confuse this information should have been enough to glean that this is what I was talking about.
Absolutely. Sometimes we call it a clue, and sometimes we just call it covering our own ass.
Yeah, or a little bit of both. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for the miscorrections. You got anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks, Mike, for sending those in. Let's see how our teams did with a weekly wrap-up. Okay, on Monday, the Wet Boys won our April Fool's trivia with 115 points, setting a new high score ever. Been a bad week for the Moist men, the Team Moist. They've lost two of their Triple Crown spots in just the past week, once at number 3 to No Pants Friday, and now on Monday at 3 Pepper to you guys, the Wet Boys. I have to congratulate you, though, obviously. I mean, that's amazing. On Wednesday, Team Hackerspace took the victory with 74 points, stomping out 7 other teams for that victory. A new regular team going by yikes, though. I'm sorry, they're just going by yikes. However, they stole the second round from Team Hackerspace by a single point margin on that one. So look out for Team Yikes at Bury Me Brewing. Mark, how did your teams do over at Nice Guys on Wednesday?
Good. Our first and second round were basically taken over by the team Diamond Joe Biden's Unsolicited Massage Parlor. but at the very end, like they've been doing lately,
I like the rhyming in that. Yeah. I just have to say that they made the extra effort.
It's good. Saturday Night Beaver, Jamie, Kristen, Fletcher, and Aaron, with their friend Jill.
Some Wet Boys on that team.
Indeed. Last question wrong, still won the night with 49 points. So
good for them. Congratulations. All right. If you missed it and you want to join us for trivia this week, we'll be at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers on April 8th, 2019 at 7:30 p.m. We'll be at Bury Me Brewing the following Wednesday, April 10th, 2019, in case you're wondering what year it is when you're listening to this. Afterwards, we will go over to Nice Guys, check out Mark's trivia at Nice Guys Pizza. That's in downtown Cape. And then on Thursday, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar on April 11th. That is a Thursday. That starts at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the no-nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round.
Free is the best price.
Join us.
Won't you?
to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with some questions in round one.
Delicious.
Mark, it's been at least 42 questions now, I think, since we've answered one right. Two episodes, right? Did we get any right in the last two episodes?
I don't think so. When did we have Max?
That was the episode before.
3 episodes ago.
Yeah,
okay.
3 episodes.
So yeah, probably.
Yep. Let's see how we do today. Who's going to get the first one? I'm going to ask you a question first.
Okay.
All right.
Are we just going to give each other really hard questions?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you could get this one.
Okay.
Florida Man is the category. Most requested category at Bury Me Brewing this week. Three different teams requested a Florida Man question.
Wow.
At that venue. I don't know if there was collusion, you know. I haven't read the report, but I guess I've put out a subpoena to see if
APB.
I can get the report. All right, Florida Man is the category. Here's the question. In 2016, a Florida man was charged with assault with a deadly weapon after throwing what through a drive-through window?
Jeez. So many things it could be. Well, you get your finger at the ready. Are you automatically rating for the boo?
I don't know if it's going to work or not, so I'm wondering right now in my head. None of them work.
God damn it. Well, that's a bummer. Throwing what through a drive-through window? In such a panic. You gotta keep all that. That's so good. Oh my god.
Now I can't get it to come back again. There it is. Okay. All right. We've got the soundboard figured out now. Oh boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just for a quick wrap up.
Yeah.
He had the thing muted, so we couldn't hear anything in our headphones. He's hitting the buttons like crazy. Then he finally turns the track on. It's like this crowd's going fucking apeshit. It's amazing. Oh god.
Yeah. This was me. That was me.
All right. So sad. Throwing what through a drive-through window? I'm gonna say a hamburger.
No. More Florida man than that. The answer is an alligator.
You know what? As soon as you said no, I knew it was a fucking alligator.
Yeah. Yep. That was your number two guess, huh?
Oh yeah.
A lot of these questions actually. Kylie Ann wrote a lot of these previous guests.
Oh wow.
For this week, yeah, she's been helping out behind the scenes because trivia is just getting popping down here with this no life that we got going. So. Shout out to her for writing that. And go check out her episode, nono.com.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's your first question. Mm-hmm. Who is the current attorney general?
Current attorney general? Well, we were just talking. I was alluding to the Mueller report a few moments ago on this very podcast. And William Barr is at least the acting attorney general, but is there another name underneath that? I believe Jeff Sessions has well resigned now, if I remember correctly. He was Trump's first pick for attorney general. And then there was Sean Spicer filled the role. No, I'm just kidding. He was the press secretary.
I remember those days.
Ah, Spicer. There's a name I haven't heard and 4 months, which seems like 18 years ago at this point. Who was in between? There was somebody in between, but that was the acting attorney general. I'm going to go with William Barr.
That's correct. Congratulations.
Oh man.
You broke the streak.
All right. Ooh, 43 questions in.
There you go.
All right. All maybe that bodes well for you and this mythology question that I've
probably
come in your
not.
Way. How's your Norse mythology?
Not good.
How's your Harry Potter trivia?
Not good.
Those categories will help you here.
Okay.
What wolf-like creature in Norse mythology, who shares a name with the infamous werewolf leader from the Harry Potter series, is the son of Loki and is foretold to kill the god Odin during the events of Ragnarok.
I have no idea. I'm going to say Cirrus.
That's a good guess, educated guess, based on Harry Potter, but did you say Cirrus?
Yes.
Sirius is the Harry Potter character?
Not like Sirius Black. No.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I was thinking there's a name that I think I remember seeing that's like C-Y-R-U-S. And it was about as good as anything else I was going to pull out of my ass, so.
Cyrus. The answer...
Cirrus
is Fenrir.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember, is Fenrir that giant wolf in Thor Ragnarok?
Maybe.
Is that character? That would make sense.
It would definitely make sense.
I picture Fletcher right now going, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Yes.
He came from another galaxy.
Is that your Fletcher impression?
Yeah, it's not a good one. It's just me talking.
It's about as good as your Ray Romano.
Whoa. Yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Now it's coming out.
No. It's a fine Ray Romano.
I'll never Ray again.
How's that sound? Come on, Mark.
You want to be like that? I'll never Ray again.
No.
We'll just hang Ray up in the closet.
I think you do a fine Ray. In fact, when I'm listening back to the podcast, I wonder, is that Mark's Ray or is that my Ray? I can't even tell.
Is that Mark's Ray or is that actually Ray Romano? I don't remember having him in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here is your second question.
Oh, by the way, that character in Marvel is Fenrir in Thor Ragnarok, so that could help you too. But.
All right, here's your second question. The food item aubergine, as it is known in the UK, is called what in the United States?
Aubergine in the UK is, I believe, also a purplish color that applies to what we would call the eggplant.
That's correct.
Yeah. Boom, I'm on fire.
Yeah, now you're on fire.
I'm on fire all of a sudden.
I'm throwing you some mid-level ones so that way you can
I was not so kind to you.
No, you weren't.
But that's okay. We'll see how you do. I don't know. I'm trying to keep it, you know, I think about what, you know, you would like me to ask you, but I also think about the listeners, you know. Got to have a nice balance. You. So, here's the third question for you. It is a Saturday Night Live question. Which famous actor and comedian auditioned for the 1980 season of Saturday Night Live and was rejected in favor of one Charlie Rocket? And I'll give you a little hint here.
I don't even know who Charlie Rocket is.
I think that's part of the irony of the question. Yeah. He later went on to guest host in 1996, 2011, and 2014. Three-time host. I know a lot of those comedians, you start thinking of Saturday Night Live and comedians, and those six-timers, seven-timers probably come up, like Steve Martin.
Right. Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
What years were they hosted?
96, 2011, and 2014. So, I mean, you could really look at it like 1996 is when this comedian's career really started to take off.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to say, it's probably wrong, but I'm going to say John Goodman.
So close. I mean, kind of, with the J sound. Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently the crew is in Living Color is getting back together.
I think I read that. Is that for like a movie? Is that what I saw?
That's what they said.
No. I think it's, I remember now. They're showing the premiere in a theater.
Oh.
So they're getting the cast, the original cast together to attend that. Probably
it's so funny that when I think of Jim Carrey, that's one of the first things I think of is him on In Living Color.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the fire? Bill the Fireman, right?
Was that
the character they played?
Fire Marshal Bill.
Fire Marshal Bill. That's it.
Let me show you something. It's amazing.
Where he talks through his teeth the whole time.
Yep. Good stuff. Is it my turn for the third?
I believe you have the last one here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
In which TV show would you find a tavern and restaurant called The Boar's Nest?
The Boar's Nest. In what TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The Boar's Nest. There's no qualifier for what kind of show this is. Not a kid show or anything like that. Just what TV show? The Boar's Nest?
Mm-hmm.
A restaurant / tavern.
Yes.
Tavern pretty squarely puts it in fantasy territory, I feel. But, I don't know. I guess probably in certain parts of the world they would call a pub a tavern, maybe in a modern sense. I don't think it's Game of Thrones. I've been wrong on Game of Thrones questions in the past, but I do enjoy it quite a bit, and I feel like it would stick out. The Boar's Nest. Let's see here. Disenchantment is the animated show on Netflix that is kind of the spiritual sequel to shows like The Simpsons and Futurama, in that it's a Matt Groening show. The Boar's Nest. Do they go there on that? Let's see here. It feels a little out of character for a show like Vikings or something. It's a little bit more serious. Plus, I don't think they stay, I haven't seen Vikings, but I don't think they stay in one place very long on that show. Enough to have like a tavern. Oh yeah, let's go down to the tavern, you know, that we're on every episode.
I wouldn't get too hung up on, I think you're kind of chasing the wrong.
Oh really? Trail. It's not a fantasy show? The Boar's Nest?
No.
Well, shit. The Boar's Nest. I just don't recognize that. And I don't know. I feel like maybe the answer is Letterkenny, because you want to spite me. I don't remember the name of that bar on that show.
Modine's.
Modine's is the name?
Yep.
Okay, so it's not Letterkenny either?
Nope.
Oh, and it's none of the ones I've said.
Nope.
Clearly. Okay. The Boar's Nest. Boar. It's weird that I guess you would call a boar's home a nest. They kind of nestle in the brush.
Sure.
In my mind, I was thinking like a flying pig, like a nest up in a tree. But,
You can have nests on the ground.
The Boar's Nest. Is it Duck Dynasty? This is like a real place they go to.
Is that your guess?
That's, yeah, I feel like I've dilly-dallied around here.
You started getting closer. Yeah. The correct answer is the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, wow. That's probably very famous. If you've seen the Dukes of Hazzard, I bet you know that, but I've never seen an episode. So,
owned by Mr. Hogg with two G's.
Boss Hogg?
I don't know if it's Boss Hogg.
A Hogg.
It's some A Hogg. It's probably Boss Hogg.
Okay. Good to know. The Boar's Nest.
The Boar's Nest.
Right on. All right. Well, that's three from me and three from you.
That flew right by, didn't it?
It did. We're going to have a quickie today.
Oh, yeah. Hey-o. It is early.
All right. We're going to take another little break and have a quickie within a quickie. And then we'll be right back with, let's see, rate my question.
Sounds good.
Mark, it's time to talk Raider Ray here.
Okay, Ray Romano.
No.
No, I've
who's
told
this?
You.
Who am I talking to right here?
What
this sounds
I
like Mark Davis. I need my Ray.
I hung up my Ray.
This is from a pocket of multiple Ray universes. I need my other Ray.
What are the names of your kids, Ray?
Matthew, Gregory, Alexandra, and God bless Joseph.
Yeah, there he is.
God bless him.
Ding, ding, ding.
Let's see who Ray my question.
Rate my question.
This rate my question also comes from Kristen. We had a miscorrection rate my question combo from her. How many countries start with the letter R? That's the first part.
Okay.
The second is, what are they? So I'm guessing at least one.
Romania.
And?
So there's two?
Well, I was thinking Rwanda.
Okay.
I don't know if there's more. I did not. She did not include an answer.
She didn't.
No. So it's you and me right now.
Holy cow.
Romania is. That's
okay. Romania is definitely a country.
Rwanda is definitely a country.
Okay.
I believe. Like 95% all that.
R is such a popular letter that this has got to be something.
Are there any stands with an R? There are several stand countries.
Not that I can think of.
Russia.
That's a big one. Good going.
Oh, man. God.
These questions
make me so nervous.
I was peeking around South America.
Mm. Mm.
I haven't gotten over to Europe and Asia
yet. You're using the map method again.
A little bit.
This is a foolish errand, because take it from me. I've messed these first letter country questions up before. You don't have the whole map memorized.
No, you don't, but at least like makes you think of like, okay, I'm thinking mm-hmm. in this area.
Yeah.
Just thinking of some countries.
Yeah.
Just see what shakes out.
Mm-hmm. I'm in Europe right now.
You tell me not to use the map method.
Well, now I'm using it. You've convinced me.
I always think there's going to be something glaring like Antarctica.
I'm just very cautious with these types of questions.
So Russia, Romania, Rwanda. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be crazy if it was just three. But maybe it is. Just like Jay.
I'm trying to think of islands right now. Rhodesia? Is that some old ass Trivial Pursuit shit?
It's
not a country anymore?
I know.
Is Rhodesia Zimbabwe now or something like that?
Maybe, yeah.
Rwanda's still there though, right?
Rwanda's there.
Okay.
Best I know.
Let's go with three.
Okay.
Unless you want to take some more time.
No. Are you going to search it or do you want me to?
We can both search it if you want. Let's both search it.
How many countries start with R?
I'm tapping them out.
Three.
Yes.
Three countries.
Romania, Russia, Rwanda. Boom.
We did it.
Yeah, we did.
Hey, we did it.
Yeah. All right. Pretty good question. Exhilarating, I would say, as a player. But saying what are they kind of implies that it's not zero. But I guess so does Russia.
Okay, so hold on.
Which we almost
hold
missed.
On.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But one of them is... So Rwanda is not one of them.
What?
It's a country called Reunion.
Reunion? Are you April Fools-ing me?
I wish I was, my friend.
I've never heard of a country called Reunion.
Guess what?
The reunion of two separate states? Is that what it's short for?
I've never heard of it either.
So I'm looking at all these lists on my phone here. Say three. Reunion Island, a French department in the Indian Ocean.
Romania, Russia, Rwanda. But then underneath, it says list of countries beginning with R. ISO code 3, REU. ISO code 2, RE, country, reunion.
This is listed as a department and region of France. So I would say that this is clearly a French territory. It uses the French flag. It's off the coast of Madagascar.
Well, here's the other thing.
I've never seen this place before. This is crazy.
The other big thing that everybody's saying is it's the Republic of the Congo. And that R counts for that.
Hmm.
Because the official name is Republic.
This question is messy. I'm gonna say Reunion is not a country though. It says here it's a department. It's also one of the 18 regions of France. It is very far away from France though.
Yeah, Reunion much Island, closer to a French Africa. Department in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm. Romania, Russia, Rwanda,
Republic of the Congo.
Redirects to Congo, Republic of the.
Yeah, I'm going to say Congo is the Congo. Come on.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of places are Republic of or whatever in mm-hmm. some form or fashion. So yep. We're right.
But Republic of Cyprus, Republic of Cuba, Republic of Croatia.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go with three.
So, yeah, we'll say that we're right.
Yeah. So let's rate the question now. It's pretty messy. Like, if you're a quizmaster, this one, you got to have all that information ready to go. Or else you'll just do what we did live, and that will interrupt your flow.
I would rate it a B+.
Yeah, maybe just a more clarified letter or something.
Well, I think the reason I specifically did J was because there was none of that,
mm-hmm.
none of that fat to cut through.
No ambiguity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I give it B2. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I liked answering it. I like playing along, you know, in that sense.
There are only a few letters that where you can get away with a question like that.
Because
you say A and the answer is going to be like 33.
Yeah.
You can't have people going, you know, Argentina, Algeria, fucking, you know, it's way too much.
Yeah. Maybe we can do a little research and we'll select our favorite letters for that type of question.
Okay.
You know, that'd be fun.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, 4 or 5 is the golden, you know, just, there's a question, how many letters or how many countries are just one syllable?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's an A+ question.
Yeah. Very tough.
It is very tough.
Very tough.
It is.
All right. But yeah, good. Thanks for writing that in, Kristen.
Yeah, absolutely. And good question.
If you have a Rate My Question, please send it to us. nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. You can also tweet us, Instagram message us. We have a Facebook group now. We'll talk more about that a little later.
Mm.
But let's go ahead and get into a round 2 questions. Mark, I believe it's your turn to go first.
Okay. Susanna Kapitova has become what Central European country's first female president, along with the youngest?
First female and youngest president of what country?
Yep, Central Europe. Susanna, Z-U-Z-A-N-A, Kapitova.
Hmm. Central Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Kapitova. First female and youngest. I really don't know a lot about Central European politics, to be frank with you.
That's fine. I'm here for you.
Portugal is on the west, along with Spain, France, Europe, or England. Wrong E.
Europe as a whole.
The country of Europe, located in Central Europe. Capital like city, Europe.
The song Big Country on the album Big Country by the band Big Country.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with... I don't want to go with Hungary, actually. Is it Slovakia?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
You're correct.
So that was that. The reason that I pulled that from seemingly out of nowhere is because I was thinking of it, and the whole time I was like, "Don't say Slovakia," and that turned out to not be a country at all. I was scared. The podcast intimidated me.
Well,
you
good.
Know the nature of the podcast, but
keeping you in check.
I just that was a trust fall, basically, with myself. You know,
I kept worrying last night that I was going to mix it up with Slovenia.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah. Wow. Lucky guess on that one.
Good one
for sure. got some history for you. Ancient history is category. In ancient Rome, what did people use as mouthwash?
It's got to be piss.
That's right, it's piss.
Oh. Both of us have broken our spells.
Yeah.
If it's going to be anything, it's going to be a big mouthful of piss.
Big mouthful of piss back in the day. Sterile piss.
Mm.
But, you know.
Sterilized pee.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Drinks a whiskey drink, he drinks a lager drink, he drinks some of his own piss. Well, you don't drink the mouthwash.
He drinks a urine drink. Well, who knows? Back then, all bets were off.
Oh, man. You got one for me?
In the Star Trek universe, Zefram Cochrane was the first human to create what? In the Star Trek universe.
Zac Efron Cochrane. Is that what you said?
Close. Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah.
Was the first human to create what?
I'm not sure, but this might be the name of Data's father, quote unquote father. So I'm going to say Android. That's my guess.
That's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
The correct answer was warp drive.
Warp drive. Okay. Zefram Cochrane.
Zefram Cochrane.
Cochrane.
So the interesting thing is that Zefram Cochrane inventing warp drive was the thing that alerted the Vulcans about us.
Wow.
And was responsible for the first alien contact.
This is from First Contact.
In Star Trek.
The actor is that one guy, you know,
old
who
guy.
Recently passed.
Old man.
He was in L.A. Confidential, right?
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Oh, man, I knew this guy's name. It starts with a J.
James Cromwell.
James Cromwell, yeah. Man, I like him. He's a good actor. Usually if he's in something, I'm like, all right.
So he actually first appeared in a Star Trek episode.
Oh, okay.
Called Metamorphosis, played by Glenn Corbett. Then James Cromwell played him in First Contact.
Hmm.
And he was in an episode of Star Trek Enterprise. Yeah.
Much beloved member of the Trek community, James Cromwell.
He was the guy who invented warp drive. We poo. And then the Vulcans were like, who the fuck is this?
Mm.
There you go. Now you got Spock.
Here's a hockey history question for you.
Jesus Christ.
In the early days of hockey, what was used as a hockey puck? What was the first hockey puck made from? Regularly.
You're asking for the material?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be something dangerous and stupid. You know, I was hanging TVs up at my work. I was on this like fucking 8-foot tall ladder with a 43-inch TV trying to hook it onto a little piece of bar. And my shift leader was looking up at me, Carla. And I was like, this is why men die young. Because they do stupid shit like this. Here I am. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm not an EV guy. But here I am on this fucking ladder, teetering.
At least you had a spotter.
Well, kind of. What were they going to do?
Call someone.
Try and get the ambulance as quick as you can. Yeah. They can make a tourniquet. Everything is post-emptive. What was the question?
In early hockey history.
Oh, yeah. What was it made out of? Lead.
No, it wasn't lead. Following the theme of the round, frozen cow poop.
Jesus Christ, it's disgusting.
Pee and poop are the answers to our first two questions for me this round.
Perfect. How fitting. I like to pee. I like the occasional poop.
I like a clean mouth and I like playing hockey. What can I say? I'm a piss and poo man.
Here is your last question of this round. On what TV series would you find actors such as Austin St. John, Walter Emmanuel Jones, and David Yost?
I recognize these names.
Do you?
First, you said Austin St. John, and my ears perked up. Where do I remember that name? And then what was the second one?
Walter Emmanuel Jones.
Yes, I believe. And who's the last one?
David Yost.
I believe that would be the red, black, and blue Power Rangers.
I left out Amy Jo Johnson because I knew that would make it too obvious. Yes,
right,
you're correct.
Because all boys had a crush on her.
And didn't she do a nudie spread?
I think so. I'm not sure about that. Talk to Kyle about that. She's the one with the Mr. Skin account in this house. So I'm not sure.
I'll have to ask her.
Here's your third question. Keeping our theme together, piss poop. What three singers performed the song All for Love, the theme song to the 1993 film The Three Musketeers?
One more time.
What three singers performed the song All for
three
Love,
singers.
The theme song to the 1993 film The Three Musketeers?
Oh, I have no idea.
You don't remember the song?
I don't even know if they're male or female. No.
You really don't remember the song from 1993?
No.
I think you're in the same boat as a lot of my players this week. I don't know why. I just remember the song so clearly. Like, I remember this more than the movie itself.
Are they all male or all female? You don't have to tell me which. But is it all three male or all three female?
I'll give you the hint. They are all male singers.
93?
Yeah.
Fucking Richard Marx, Bono, and Bono, and I said Richard Marx, right?
Yeah.
And what's his name? Brian, Summer 69.
Brian Adams?
Yeah.
Brian Adams was one of them. But okay. He was accompanied by Rod Stewart and Sting.
That sucks.
I told you we had a theme going this round.
That hurts. Yeah, that's vomit. It's shit and throw up. Jesus Christ. That's terrible.
You know what's funny? I was going to write a vomit question. I was like too distasteful, so I put this one in, so it's hilarious. So you got it.
Be clear here, okay? You know, Sting, the police are fucking great. All right?
This is the worst team up until...
And Rod Stewart is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on, fucking Maggie May or whatever the fuck and all that stuff. So good.
Brian Adams,
Summer of 69. He's got a distinct voice. That song still gives me chills. Such a great coming of age song.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Coming of something.
So good. So well put what it's like growing up and looking at your youth.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I get, the more I'm just like, man, I feel that. But you put these three turns together and it does not smell any better.
It's something... Forgettable. Yeah. Simply forgettable, apparently.
And it was also the worst time in all their careers, probably.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart had started...
Sting left the Police.
Sucking pretty bad. He was doing the whole fucking... On the
fields of gold.
All these, like, Muzak bullshit. Yeah.
That song is so boring.
Yeah. Jeez.
Anyway, I was going to say, this is probably the worst soundtrack collaboration until Nickelback, Saliva, and... I don't even remember who else was on that first Spider-Man.
Static X. Oh,
Hero.
Jesus Christ.
It's like Nickelback stops and you're like, oh, thank God that's over. And then the guy from Saliva starts singing and you're like, no!
Then the guy from Stained, it's like, oh, Jesus, or whoever the fuck it is.
Yeah. All right.
Do I owe you another question or no?
No, wait. That's it.
That's it. Okay.
That's our reign of terror is over for round number two. We're going to take another little break and then we'll be back in round three. Before we get into our final questions, we just want to say thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thank you, Quiz Daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud, Tim from Pat's Garden Service in San Diego. Also, thanks to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks again, Kristen, for sending in miscorrection and rate my question this week. And big thank you to our newest proverbial lightkeeper, Sarah. Thanks for listening to Sarah. She left us a little note on Patreon saying she loves trivia podcasts and this one takes the cake.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks also to our other proverbial lightkeepers, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, Sherry, and Gil. Thanks for keeping the lights on, guys. And big thanks also to our Rumpelsnailskins, Michael C. and Michael J.
Thank you, everyone.
The Snailskis.
The little snail skis.
Thanks so much for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast, get access to bonus content for this podcast, go to thenono.com and click support at the top, and that'll give you unfettered access to our bonus content. If you can't support the show financially, we'd love a good review, a good share, a good retweet, anything along those lines. So please do that. And please. Thank you.
Please, pretty please.
All right, let's get these final questions in.
You ready?
Yep.
I'm ready to wrap it up.
Yep.
Hit me.
Would you like a food question or a pop culture question?
I'm going to go with pop culture.
Boy, you made a mistake.
Oh, fuck. Let's go with food.
Ugh, tough one.
All right, we'll stick with pop culture.
Emily Grant Hutchings claimed that her 1917 novel, Jap Heron, was dictated by Mark Twain's spirit posthumously through which device, trademarked by Parker Brothers and still manufactured today? The whole book, Jap Heron, written by Emily Grant Hutchings, published in 1917, was apparently, according to her, dictated by Mark Twain's spirit posthumously through which device, trademarked by Parker Brothers and is still manufactured today.
I feel like there's only one answer, but it's too obvious. I feel. But maybe not. So I'm just going to say it. A Ouija board.
That's correct. Gave you ding, a little
ding,
easy.
Ding, ding.
Yep. Oh, yep.
Yay. Thank you.
Finally got one.
I appreciate your support. I love how it just cuts off.
It's good. It's yeah. Good to end on a high note there. For yeah. You know. When that question was first posed to me, and Kyle wrote that one too, I didn't hear 1917 at first, and for some reason my first thought was like, oh, the talk boy, obviously. Just imagine a Mark Twain spirit. Yeah, posthumously, I think, is the big clue there. You know, there's one device usually that is a Pavlov of talking to the dead, and that would be it.
Parker Brothers was my giveaway.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Was that it was like, oh, for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a board game. Yeah.
Do you want the harder food question?
Sure.
Okay. A dish made of fermented and fresh cabbage and cooked with pork, venison, and other meats is called bigos in traditional Polish fare, but is typically referred to by what sporting nickname in English-speaking countries?
Sporting nickname?
Mm-hmm. This is a dish made of fermented and fresh cabbage and cooked with pork, venison, and other meats. Its traditional name is bigos, but in English-speaking countries, it typically goes by what sporting nickname?
Sporting nickname is what's throwing me off. Pop fly. I have no idea.
Pop fly?
I have no idea.
What the fuck? Where did that come from?
It's a sporting nickname.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. No
nickname having to do with a sport.
Fresh and fermented cabbage cooked with pork, venison, and other meats called Polish, or a bigos in traditional Polish fare is known in America and other English-speaking countries as hunter's stew, typically. Hunter's stew.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You feel disappointed with that one.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad, you know, I originally was going to ask you if you wanted a food or literature question, but then I was like, he's not going to take the literature question, and then you would have been really disappointed.
Yeah.
You would have been really disappointed.
Yep. Yeah. Here's your last question. Thank you. I love at the end of that boo, you hear like someone in the left earphone who's really bummed at the end.
A little laugh.
How ridiculous. Everybody else is genuinely sorry, and that one person's like, loser.
Yep.
What a jerk off. All right, here's your last question.
Mm-hmm.
The chemical lutetium. That's Lutetium. Is named after the Latin name for the capital city of what European country?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What was that again? Latium?
Lutetium.
Lutetium. Lutetium. The Greek name?
Is named after the Latin name for the capital city of what European country?
Okay, so I'm thinking of the periodic table and science and being named after a Latin city name. So it's got to be a really old city. Really old capital. From a country that had some, you know, influence on the periodic table. Is Mendeleev, that's the guy that made the periodic table, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
Alex Mendeleev? Alexander?
Alexander Mendeleev, get over here and make my table.
Yeah. See, today yours is better.
You almost brought it out.
Yours is better than mine today.
You're just being nice.
I am.
You don't have to placate me.
Look, I have several bad impressions.
Hey.
You know.
Look.
I'm no stranger to the criticism.
That's fine.
I used to think my Jack Nicholson was really good. And I heard a recording of it and I was like, it sounds just like I'm normally talking.
Well, it's just because your voices aren't that far off.
No, I don't think so. I'm going to go with France. I think Paris is the capital in question. Lieutenant, I believe, is a French word, and it sounds kind of like lieutenant. So that's what I'm going with.
You're correct.
All right.
Word. No one got that right.
Wow. Was that your final question?
Yep.
Oh, I fucked up not coming out last night.
Yeah?
Somebody might have talked me out of it, though, on my team. I don't know.
I had a lot of people put Lithuania because Lutetium, but it's like, it's not that's not the capital.
Yeah, I don't know. The European spirits are talking to me today. I got Slovakia.
Kylie is just going to task on that.
She doesn't care that we're
frying pan. She's just thinking to task. Giving it what for?
Whenever we're cooking, she moves so slowly. That's the fastest I've ever heard her chop.
Well, you know, she's making short shrift of it.
All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
We've finally
broken our streak of our losing streak on the podcast. We both got some questions right. Congratulations, Bart.
Thank you. And to you.
Yeah. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30.
Onions.
Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one's starting at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show is starting at 7:30. Mr. Mark Davis, please tell our listeners where
Kyle,
you can be found on Wednesday nights.
What are you cooking? Smells really good. It's like onions. Maybe peppers. You can catch me at Nice Guys Pints and Pies in historic downtown Cape Coral from 9 p.m. until 10:30 p.m. And also, if you haven't gone to Danger Danger yet and you live locally, open by Greg and Jovena, as well as one of the guys, the guy that owns Nevermind, and it is overseen
with Chef Skyler.
By Chef Skyler,
yeah,
who is a great human being. They've just been making some of the best friggin' food. It's been amazing. I've been there 3 times and they've opened a week ago, pretty much. So very, very good. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Nice Guys.
I recommend Danger Danger as well. Thanks for listening. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support The No-No on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. You can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We also have a Facebook group now, so you can join to chat with other listeners and Mark and myself. Just search for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on that. You can join in the discussion. Finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes and Stitcher. 5 stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.